Welcome to the Citizen Church Podcast. We're honored that you joined us today. We hope you enjoy this episode and leave challenged and inspired.
Well, Dad, you have just officially released your second book called A Matter of Time, and it's a book on family, and we are so excited about it. And what I'm mostly excited about this with is so many people need the information in this book with where we're at in society right now. There's so much going on, and parents just feel lost. What does the Bible say about parenting? How can we really do family right in God's eyes? And so what we're going to do, this is the first episode of a four-part series that we're going to be doing based on your book and the sermon series we're doing at the church right now called A Matter of Time. And to kick off today, I just wanted to ask you, what sparked the idea for this book? Why did you feel the necessity and have the passion to write A Matter of Time?
You know, I've been asked that a lot. And, you know, I think, Dustin, it just goes all the way back that when I was a small boy growing up in a home, you know, we had an amazing home. You know, a great mom, great dad, very, very sheltered from what really goes on in the world. After going into ministry, 40 years of ministry, not hundreds, but thousands of people over all of those years of counseling, talking to people, helping them through issues and problems, what I found hearing these horrendous family life stories is that you could backtrack and just take them backwards all the way back to their home, and it always went back to their home life, a failure in the home. And so I think after many, many years of watching the devastation, the problems, the issues that people have to go through, and then wounded children growing up to be wounded adults, it just created this passion that I realized so many people are growing up in homes that are dysfunctional. Then as they start raising their families, they start following the same patterns. And so it just became this major love and passion of helping people to really understand home life and how to really raise kids in a godly manner.
Yeah, and even from my perspective, I've always thought you should write a book on this, and you've had a lot of people ask you to, with even other pastors coming in and speaking here and different friends of ours, people in the church. I said on Sunday when we started this sermon series, our family is far from perfect, but you really did live what you preached, and I think this book is in your wheelhouse, and I have read this book, and there is so much wisdom. As I'm reading it, I'm absorbing all of it myself. I'm thinking about all the people that this could just truly benefit and help. And this last Sunday, we did kick off a sermon series where we're going along with your book. And this first week and the first section of your book is on words. And I personally know from my whole life being with you, words are a very big deal. The Bible talks about the power of life and death being in the tongue. You take that very literally, as we all should. And knowing that's such a big passion of yours, I just want everyone to kind of hear, where did that start? How did you become so passionate about the power of words?
You know, when I was writing this, and really we were talking last week about the book, I started thinking through some of that. And you know, I think it goes all the way back when I was maybe in the fourth grade. I had this learning disability. I had ADD. Well, back then, they had no idea how to treat that, what to do with it. And so
I got that from you. But
you
ahead.
Did get that. Yeah. So, but it was a very severe learning disability. Mm-hmm. And I could not learn in the classroom setting. And so there was a teacher that we had that she put people in order of the classroom by their grade. For instance, the very first chair, the smartest one in the class was in that chair. And then she went backwards all the way to the last row, the last chair, and the last chair was where I was seated. And so sitting there, realizing I'm the dumbest kid in the class, and where everyone else was looking around, and they're looking over there saying, that's the smartest kid, and that's the dumbest kid.
Wow.
You begin to internalize that, and you believe that, and you know that that is true. And so the damage that that did of just emotionally, I mean, talking about a emotional killer and just, you know, how you viewed yourself was really, really difficult. And so, you know, what I found was through that, I mean, just hating going to school and having to sit in that seat. And she changed it every 6 weeks. And every 6 weeks, I ended up in the same seat. And so what I found was, in the mornings. My mom and dad were just magnificent. But my dad would sit at the breakfast table and talk about the day, what a great day that it was, and he just poured into me. And it was amazing when he spoke into my life. It was like healing that just came over me. And I craved that. I wanted more of that. And I wanted my dad to be with me 24/7 because of the words that he spoke. And so I think that's where it all started, that I understood at a young age the power of what a father can speak to a son and how that there can just be a healing that takes place. But there's something else that I kind of want to just kind of bounce off with you for a moment. There's the power of words, mm-hmm. but there is something biblically about being motivated by the Spirit to speak into someone's life that goes even further. Mm-hmm. And let me just kind of take a moment and tell you this story, because this is where the light went on, and this is what changed fatherhood for me and the power of words forever. I was a young pastor, had only pastored for about a year and a half. I was wanting to change the church. It was a very old church, traditional church. In fact, it was this church, you know, way back many years ago. And they were fighting against that change. They didn't want it. They had done the same thing for 50 years. And so we ended up in a business meeting in January. And it was an annual business meeting where they had the ability to vote me out. And there had been this major phone calling campaign that that night when I walked out in the business meeting, it was packed full of people. And you know you're in trouble when you go to a business meeting and it's packed.
Yeah.
And so I'm there realizing they've all come to vote me out. And everyone has come to watch the zoo that was going to take place that night. And so standing on the platform, I was filled with such anxiety and just intimidated, insecure, not knowing what was going to happen that night, knowing my job could end that night. There was a friend of mine who was a pastor that was standing next to me, and we opened up the business meeting that night with two songs, worship songs. Mm-hmm. Nobody was in the mood to worship, but we just had two songs. And while the songs were going, he stood very close to me, and he just started speaking to me.
Wow.
And he started saying things like, God has called you. He's called you to this church.
Wow.
You're a man of God. You're anointed. You're going to speak tonight with courage. You're going to build a great church here. That went on for 6 to 7 minutes. I mean, this constant flow of words. And while I was standing there, I could literally feel the insecurity drain out of me.
Wow.
And it was like this courage rose up inside of me. I went to the podium, began to speak, and it was like this courage that flowed out of me, speaking with vision and courage and strength. And when I finished, what the business meeting required was microphones to be set up in the aisles where people could come and talk. And I knew it was going to be an awful night of what was going to be said. When I finished speaking, not one person got up out of their seat.
Wow.
No one came to the microphone. And that night was the beginning of building a great church here. When I walked out of there that night, I felt like a load of bricks had fallen off of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember laying down in bed that night thinking, what just happened?
Yeah.
And for the first time in my life, I realized what the Bible meant in 1 Corinthians 14, mm-hmm. verse 3, when it talked about prophesying, and I realized what my friend was doing, he was prophesying to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that word is so strange to so many people. It's so weird. But when you just realize what the Bible says about that word, that it's nothing more than bringing encouragement, strength, and comfort into another life. But Dustin, this is what I think is fascinating to me, is that it was more than just human words. What he was doing, I believe, was being motivated and driven by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And there was a power that was attached to that was supernatural. And so that night I realized, wow, the gift of prophecy, again, is nothing more than speaking encouragement, strength, and comfort into someone's life. And I began to instill that into fatherhood, And I did that with all three of you boys, all of your lives.
Yeah, it's interesting because what you were saying about prophecy is so true. It's gotten a bad rap.
It does.
But it's, all it is just speaking the truth about what God says over someone, where someone could be deflated. They don't believe it about them anymore. And you're speaking what the Word of God says, what God says about them. Because there's what the world says, and then there's what God says. And it's something else you said on Sunday in your sermon that I wanted to hit in the podcast. And I think it should be a revelation to people, is all of us, there's not one person who would disagree with the statement, negative words negatively impact people. No one would disagree with that. And you mentioned that in your sermon, but for some reason, we have a tendency to question the power of positive words. We have a tendency to question the power of prophecy and speaking life over people. And people start thinking that gets weird. But if we can visibly see how negatively speaking death over someone, how negatively it can impact their life, why wouldn't we work as hard or harder to change their lives with words? So yeah, that makes a ton of sense, because the world wants to label people, and God has a completely different label, a completely different name for people. And I think it's important to do that with
it
kids.
It is. You know, when you talk about labels, one of my favorite stories of all time is with your son. It was with one of your kids, and he was being bullied at school. And really hated going to school. And I want you to tell that story, because you have such insight on how to really deal with that problem.
Well, before I tell the story, what's interesting looking back on it, and I even remember in the moment, the reason why I was making those decisions, though, is because of that's what you would have done with us. And it's interesting how all of this is generational, if someone will just really start speaking life. But our son was in fourth or fifth grade, and he was coming home from elementary school, and I could just see every day his confidence was being deflated. And there were kids at school that were calling him names, putting a label on him, very specific labels. And it was bothering me so bad. And I remember one night I was putting him in bed and talking to him, and I asked him what people were calling him and what were people speaking over you. And he started to tell me, and my heart just broke. And it was late. It was probably 10 p.m. that night by the time he got in bed. And I remember walking out of his room and thinking, God, I need to know what to do. I'm not with him at school. How can I combat this? How can we win this with him? Because he has to go to school. And so I remember just sitting in our loft that night and praying, and I'll never forget, I just had this weird, we'll call it a God idea, to go to Walgreens, and I bought at Walgreens these little, like those little hello, my name is name tags, those sticky name tags. I got a Sharpie, and I just decided every morning I would write a different name that I spoke, that God spoke over him, where if the school was calling him a certain name and bullies and friends, I would call him champion and put that name tag on him while he was getting ready in the morning. On the drive to school, I would talk to him about what God says about him being a champion or a warrior, that he's creative. I called him King David because he loves writing music and singing, and how he was a warrior worship leader, and how I started speaking that over Asher. And it's so crazy, the power of a parent's words. I got to visibly watch it. It doesn't matter what people are speaking over him at school. When a dad or a mom starts speaking into existence something different, whatever they speak goes. And my son just was so, he was craving what I was giving him in those words. And I got to see and watch and live out exactly what you had taught me my whole life.
I love that story. Yeah. I love that. And I got to watch the transformation that took place in him just by being labeled something that is positive.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an act of genius.
And I think for people watching, I think that the podcast, I think it's such a practical thing people can do. You can do the name tag thing or whatever. That might be cheesy in your context, I don't know. But just thinking of a different word, maybe it's a post-it note you put in your son or daughter's textbook when they go to school, or maybe it's a text that you send them on their phone, and just watching their whole demeanor change, because it's what you did with us. You would constantly leave us notes. You would write notes in our Bibles. And I remember, no matter what people said, it never was a bigger deal, and it never trumped what you said about us. And I think it's so such a cool practical thing for people to do. Another question I have for you, coming off of this weekend and speaking life and words, and we've established that it's a biblical thing, and that we literally have a supernatural authority with it. But some questions I got on Sunday and questions I've had with my kids are, when you have a child and they're acting a certain way, behaving a certain way, and they have characteristics that are a certain way, and you feel You want to speak something else into their lives. How do you make that jump where you don't start feeling like, well, am I lying? Am I trying to control their future? Am I being manipulative as a parent? Like, well, that's what they're doing. How do you find that fine line of speaking something into existence that's more aspirational than actual?
So it's like you're saying something that
is not
true
there. It is not true. Like, yeah. You are godly. Well,
and they're rebelling.
Yeah.
Yes. You always feel awkward in some of those kind of things because you're saying things that you don't see. But that's what it's all about, is that you're speaking something today that does not exist into existence that one day will exist.
Right.
And what you're doing is you're speaking by faith what God has planted in their heart and what he has created inside of them. And so you speak that no matter what you see and no matter how disruptive they may be in their life, in the home life, rebellious, you just begin to speak and you continue to speak. Because again, what you're saying will begin to latch onto them and they are hearing it. And over a period of time, whatever they hear, they will begin to believe.
Yep.
Because let me go back again to what you were saying a few moments ago on the negative side. If you're telling a child that they are sorry, they're a disgrace, wish you had never been born, you caused me nothing but trouble. Well, we all know that that's exactly over a period of time how they're going to live out their life and what they really, really believe.
Yep.
And so, parents that they don't see it today, don't let that affect you at all. You just keep pressing on, and you keep believing and trusting what God has placed in them, because you know this. You don't know their future, but you do know this, that God has created greatness in them, and God has created them to succeed and not fail. And so you just begin to pour into them, and you can watch the transformation over the period of time.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. And you said something a second ago that sparked something to me. When it comes to parents disciplining their kids, and you get into those heat of the moment arguments, and I think it's interesting because sometimes you can kind of get caught where you start thinking, okay, so when I am getting onto my kid, can I not say anything? Like, what do I do? But you said something that's so specific and intentional that I think there's a big difference, but it's subtle. When you're getting onto your kid, you don't call them names. Don't say you are this. Say you're behaving this way, but that's not who you are. And I think that's where a lot of parents can make this subtle adjustment when they're disciplining their kids, and what you and mom were so intentional with us. And Mandy and I, when we're talking with our kids, again, because it was so instilled in me, we do not call people names. When our kids are calling each other names, we come down on that more than anything, because you're speaking something into existence. You're speaking identity onto someone. And I think that's a subtle practical thing, and hopefully you agree with that, where a parent, if they're getting onto their kid, you have to, but don't call them something.
See, that's the key, is that you're not labeling them with something. Something else that I have found in so many homes, you see this often, is the siblings will call each other names.
Yeah.
And man, it's easy for that to become a habit, and where they're just, unloading on a brother or sister and calling them all kinds of names. That is absolutely a violation to the family. We do not allow that, never, ever allow that to become a habit. Because again, if it's coming from a parent or from a sibling, those labels will stick to them.
They stick. Last night, one of our kids called another, one of their siblings a name.
Yeah.
And it always takes our kids off guard how much we come down on that. But they don't understand at this age that, I think back to my life growing up in elementary school, middle school, I have forgotten 99% of it. But whenever someone spoke something extremely negative or extremely positive over my life, I always remember those memories. They stick with me forever. And it's strange how still today, 37 years old, what a girl sitting next to me or a guy sitting next to me in fourth grade spoke over me, it still lingers, and it's so strange. And I do think that that's something we can really come down on and try to eliminate in our homes, is all name calling.
Absolutely.
For sure, between spouses, parents and kids, and even between siblings, there's power in it, for sure. Before I jump to my next question, anything else that we've been talking about that you want to jump in and just anything that's been on your heart as we've been talking with words that you want to just kind of throw out?
No, yesterday I was speaking on how that we are created in the image of God, but we're also created in the likeness of our parents. And, you know, again, you know, we're forming them by our actions, by what we say, by our behavior in the home. And, you know, again, this is why that it's so vital that moms and dads, you know, church-going families, that it's not just about going to church, but it's about moms and dads becoming parent leaders.
Yeah.
And where they really have a biblical understanding that my words matter, my behavior matters, everything matters, because what you do, you're forming and you're shaping those children by what's happening in that home. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really important that we are intentional as leaders. And I would encourage every mom and dad, don't just see yourself as a parent. See yourself as a parent leader.
That's great.
And when you start saying that to yourself, it changes everything. It changes mm-hmm. the dynamics of your home and how you lead.
Yeah, it's for sure. And I was thinking this too as you were talking. So many parents, I think, because I'm speaking for myself with this, if you ever get out of the habit of really intentionally speaking life, and really doing it well, when you ever get out of the habit, it starts to feel awkward to get back into the habit. And that keeps parents away from doing it even more. And now you've created a wedge that's double the size. And I think, is there anything that you can say to a mom or a dad that's maybe they're thinking back, maybe they've got kids, they're still in the game, they've got little kids, teenagers, and maybe they've let a few months go by, a couple years go by, and there's that awkwardness. They walk into the room with their teenager and it's just like, I mean, if I start speaking life over them right now, they're gonna look at me like I'm a weirdo. Can you speak to that for a second?
Yeah, you know, I think we allow ourselves to be uptight, and where moms and dads need to just be fun in the mm-hmm. home. You know, we need to bring fun back to the home, and where it's lighthearted. And you know, if you're trying to get back in the groove of that, of speaking positive, don't make it a big deal. Mm-hmm. Just start letting words flow out of you here and there and complimenting and talking about, you know, how beautiful they are, how wonderful they are. Man, you're a really a man of God, you mm-hmm. know, and just where it just becomes natural to you. And
that statement, I want to interrupt you, that statement, man or woman of God, I'm so glad you said that, because that statement right there, I think trumps them all. When you speak as a youth pastor for so many years, whenever I would say that to a teenage guy, man, you're a man of God, they would look at me and it was just like they were completely refueled and refilled. If there's something about that statement.
I have experienced that with so many people as well. I don't know what that is, but you're exactly right. When I say that to someone, you see their eyes just light up and they're, because that's what people want. That is what is inside of us. Mm-hmm. And when someone says that, they want to live up to that.
Yep.
You know, I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God. And it's tremendous, you know, the power that we have in just words.
I know it's like when you say that statement, it's almost like you're speaking to the core of who
you
that
are.
Person is really destined to be, and something leaps. It doesn't matter if they're 2, 3, 4, or you have an adult child. Whenever you say that to someone, or maybe even to a kid that's not your kid, it's just, it's powerful. And then just words, and even if they're goofy words and just fun, they all still matter and they can lift people up. So this last Sunday, our oldest daughter was on the worship team on Sunday, and you know, she came home and it was like kind of funny and awkward. Mandy and I are showering the praise and she's like, oh, this is awkward, stop, you know, all that stuff. And then we went to your house that Sunday night, because it was the Super Bowl, and we pulled up into your driveway and our whole family was in the car. And I said, Avery, that's our oldest daughter's name. I said, Avery, you know what's about to happen, right? And she goes, yes. Pop's gonna tell me I'm the best worship leader ever, and oh my gosh, and I did this, and he's so proud, and she was laughing and kind of rolling her eyes. The second we walked into the kitchen at your house, you were in there, and you go, oh my gosh, there she is. There's the best worship leader in the world. And she looked at me and just started dying laughing. And as a teenager, she can roll her eyes and pretend she doesn't love it, but she loves every second of it, whether it's from me, whether it's from you, and those funny, awkward moments, just press through, because it literally changes kids' lives.
Think about a parent who has the opportunity every single day, possibly, to create a moment that that mm-hmm. they'll never forget in their life. And it's so strange, you know, how we can overlook that and, right. and not do that every day. But you never know, the thing that you say on that day, they may remember the mm-hmm. rest of their life.
I know, negative and positive. Like yeah. even what you were saying about your you being in elementary school, you might remember this. I'll never forget my fifth grade teacher at a parent teacher conference said that I was so disorganized, and I may have been back then, but I was so disorganized and so distracted that she seriously doubted that I would do anything successful in life. I carried that all the way through middle school, and I feel like that negative seed that was planted was such a massive source of anxiety and insecurity that I dealt with for a long time, even still deal with some days. And it's just so crazy. But on the flip side of that, I had other teachers and youth pastors and you that would speak the complete opposite, and there's that balance. It's negative is spoken, but when that positive word of God, prophetic word is spoken over people, it is so life-giving and so powerful. I want to wrap up with this question. And then do you have anything else you want to add?
No,
before?
Go ahead. No.
I want to wrap up with this question. So when someone's listening to this or reading your book, someone might be an empty nester. They might be someone where they're thinking, man, I'm reading this book and I messed it up. I had my shot with my kids and man, there's no telling. Maybe their kids are not serving Christ or whatever. What would you say to someone who might be reading the book or might be at a place with parenting where that's the case for them? They feel like they lost their shot. They can't go back. Can't change anything, and they might read something like this and even be a tad discouraged. I know you have a great answer on this, but what would you say to them?
First of all, it's heartbreaking for me to speak on a subject like this. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday night, after I spoke, I received 3 emails mm-hmm. from people who were saying, I blew it.
Yeah.
I messed up. And you could feel in the email the regret, the remorse, the sadness. I blew it. And it's all over for me. And I want to encourage people to not ever think that it's over. It's never, ever over. Because you start where you are. And maybe you miss some opportunities. But you have to think about, wow, the opportunities that are in front of me. Because you have grandchildren.
Yeah.
You have people in your home, at work, people around you. Very, very quickly, you'll remember this, Dustin. There was a man in our church several years ago, and his name was Vernon. Mm-hmm. And I led him to Christ at 80 years old. And it was at a funeral. His wife had died, and he was so alone. You know, it was several days after that. But I met with him in his home. He had been so gruff, so mean, that his children wanted nothing to do with him. He had no relationship with his children. His wife is gone.
Wow.
No relationship whatsoever. And so I would go to his house probably once a week and sit down with him, and he would weep and weep, talking about how he destroyed his family and his children, and there's no relationship. I'm telling you, it was the most heartbreaking thing I had ever seen in my life. But I said, Vernon, you've got still, you know, time in front of you, and this is what happened, and this is what you'll remember. Vernon became one of the most loving men yeah. that I've ever seen in my
it's
life. He was the best greeter we ever had.
Yeah.
We had a youth section where all the teenagers sat
yeah.
On Sunday mornings. He sat in the very middle of them. He was the greatest encourager. Teenagers loved him. He was the most beloved man in our church. What he did, one day, sitting in his house, he decided, I blew it, but I'm going to change it. And he changed his life. And I've never seen a transformation like that. The power and the influence that this man had in the last several years of his life was enormous. His impact, I still feel it today. And so I want to encourage every mom and dad, don't ever, ever live in regret. You cannot do that.
No.
It'll eat you alive. But you know what you can do? You can rise up today and you can be the best that you can be and start speaking words of life and to the people that are around you and come alive
mm-hmm.
and don't live in the past. Live in the future yep. of what God has for you.
It's so good. And especially with grandkids, man, it's almost like there's a different level of anointing even being a grandparent, because they're, although parents have so much power in their words, when you have a godly grandparent speaking into a grandchild, there's nothing like that either. And it's just an amazing, amazing thing. So I love the story of Vernon. I remember him. I remember sitting by him a lot, even in church.
Oh, yeah.
Just an incredible guy. And I'd forgotten that. So I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's a story we can hang on to. And anybody that is just listening or watching right now, and they're just at that moment of giving up, don't. I love what you said. Don't live in the past. All you have is now. Just change what you can and let God do the rest, because he will. He will.
He will.
As we wrap up today, we want to leave everybody watching with a few, just maybe a little bit of homework. We've hit on a few of them, but what could be a few statements you think that we could leave people with? Some cool little statements on how to speak life over your children. Are there a few things that come to mind that you would want to leave people with?
I think one of the things that I loved to do when you guys were small, and I've watched you do the very same thing, you know, whenever you're at home and you're getting ready to run and get gas in your car, run an errand, get your car washed, don't ever, ever, ever go alone.
Yeah.
Always pick out one of your children. And if you're having trouble with one of them, take that one the most often.
Yeah.
Don't leave that one behind.
Yeah.
You know, they're a pain, but don't leave them behind. Take them with you and just run an errand with them. There is a bonding moment that happens with that like nothing else, because that's the moment that you're not looking at your phone, you're sitting in a car, you're side by side, and that's when you can have some great conversations.
So true.
How's your day going? What's going on? Anything I can help you with? Let me tell you what I think about you. I was thinking earlier today, you are the most important person in my life.
Yeah.
You are amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, your talents, your abilities, what you do, your kindness, your love that you have for your friends. And you just constantly are pouring in things like that. And what that is, it is a bonding. And what you'll feel and what you'll sense is that they'll want to be with you more than they'll want to be with their friends. And that's what you want to achieve as a parent.
Yep. And you know what? When I take my kids out and do that, you know, the older kids sometimes are like, oh, no, I want to play Minecraft. No, I want to watch whatever it is. And I'm like, nope, get in the car, go. And they kind of pitch a fit about it at the beginning. But then we get in there. What I found too is so good is when you speak something general, sometimes they look at you like, are you lying? Are you just saying that? If you can think of something specific underneath that general statement, I watch that sink in even deeper. So if I say, Aiden, man, genuinely, you're godly. And I really believe that. Here's why. And I start speaking a couple of those specific things. Then all of a sudden it's not just, oh, flattery. It's wow. No, like you've actually noticed, like that's a big deal. So I think getting specific is a cool thing too for people. But those little trips, again, yeah, I got it from you. You were loading stuff up to go to the dump. I'm going with you.
Yep.
You're going to Home Depot. I'm going with you. Somebody forgot something with an ingredient, you know, for dinner, jump in the car, go to the grocery store. I'm going with you. And you would always capitalize on those moments. And what you preached on Sunday from Deuteronomy, when you go to bed, when you're walking down the road, all those little things at Deuteronomy, is it six or four?
Four of them, and as you sit at home, as you drive around, you know, when it's the down times, that's when you could be the most effective. But it's also in the down times when Satan is the most effective.
It is.
And it's where the idle mind of where temptations flow in. And so you're stepping in, instead of allowing your children to be under attack, you're stepping in with authority and you're raising them to a higher level.
In those vulnerable moments. That's huge. Yep. Well, I hope that people watching right now, whether they're future parents, current parents right now of kids in the home or grandparents, whatever the case might be, we just hope that you guys get something out of this. Take something. If some of it's overwhelming, start small, take something, be intentional. But here's how I would like to kind of close out this episode, and we'll do this with all four. Would you pray over parents and future parents, whoever is listening or watching, and just pray a prayer of blessing over them with this topic specifically of words, and then when you're done, we can wrap up the episode.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. Parents, pray with us. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have just to speak about parenting. Lord, it's my passion. I love being a parent. I love being a grandparent. I pray, Lord, for everyone that is watching, listening, that, Lord, that you would lay your hands upon their life. And, Lord, that today we begin to see ourselves as parent leaders. And, Lord, we are leading and molding and shaping our children. And, Lord, one day that we'll have the fruit and the great excitement of seeing what they're doing in life. That, Lord, the most valuable thing that we will ever do, it's not our investment at work, it's not our investment in hobbies or activities, but it's our investment that we have in these beautiful creatures that you have created, that you have given to us. And Lord, where we have that responsibility to pour into them. So Lord, I ask that our words, Lord, will be careful. Lord, that we will shape our words, speak our words carefully. That Lord, that we know that everything that flows out of our lips, that there is creative power, and that we're building up or we're tearing down. And Lord, I pray that as we give life instead of death, that Lord, that we're highly aware that we're building our children into generational leaders. And we thank you, Lord, anoint every parent, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, make sure that you guys tune in next week for episode 2. And also don't forget to get your copy of the book, A Matter of Time, at galenwoodward.org. You will not regret it. Thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to hit subscribe and share it with your friends.